Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to another episode of AI Appalachian Intelligence. We're coming at you today from a little different studio, not our usual camper studio on beautiful Pleasure Drive. Today, we're coming from Ryan's Man Cave on beautiful Greenbrier. This is part two of our Bigfoot episode. Part one, we covered a lot of the history, the origin story, a lot of different local and folklore around the country and around the world of Bigfoot. But today we're getting into a personal firsthand account, by our guest. And he just happens to be Ryan's dad, Jeffrey Ratliff. So, Jeff, first and foremost, as we're getting started here, we want to thank you for being a sponsor of this show. We want to thank you for your support in what we're doing. And we want to thank you for coming on today. So, Ryan, got anything to say to your dad?
Hey, thanks for coming on, Dad.
You're welcome, son.
And a big shout out for that camera. We love it. It's great. The night vision is awesome.
Oh, that's good.
It's going to come in handy when we go try to find the wood booger up on High Knob and then kill the power to his dad's house and see if we can't figure out what these shadow people are doing again.
There you go.
We'll get them. Oh, yeah. We'll run them out of there.
That'll work. That'll work.
Piss off, ghost.
Better piss this guy's.
But, Dad, like I said before, you've told me the story. Justin's never heard it firsthand from you. So I'm going to let him do most of the talking here and you guys take off.
So, sorry. Go ahead.
I just said, okay.
Okay. Gotcha. So Jeff, what we're going to do, I mean, we can do this however you want to, but I think the best way would probably be just to let you give your story, give your account, to the best that you remember. And then I'll just let you go. And afterwards, if we have any questions, we'll hit you with them.
Okay.
So whenever you're ready.
Okay. I haven't told this too many times. As a matter of fact, the first time I told it was last year. I told Ryan's brother and his mom. I haven't. And the reason I never told anybody is because you get this, you're way out there, you're crazy and you're stupid and you're seeing things. But I was probably maybe 15, 16 years old. This has been 42, 43 years ago. I was deer hunting with my dad and my brother, and we they had opened up access on this. There's a horse trail, and they actually let vehicles actually go to the last gate on top of the mountain to let the hunters in. And it's the second time we'd been up there, and we split up. I go, to the right, and I have no idea where they went to, but I go to the right, and this mountain is on top. The pine needles are caught on fire, and it burnt for like 40 years. So, this place was looked like out west. It's got wild ponies, and it's even got the tumbleweeds are blowing around up there. It's pretty wild to be in our part of the country in the state of Virginia. But I went to the right and maybe walked for a good hour and a half. And I got to the point where I was thinking, man, if I shoot something, I've got to get it back. And this is not, so there was a field. I'm in a field, and I get next to the edge of the woods, which was kind of, it dropped down to the right. I get down to the edge of the woods, and I'm just sitting with my back against a big oak, and I can see, behind me down the hill to the left and right. Plus, I'm watching this field that I just come through either direction. We got in there pretty early. But I'm sitting there, and I'm not sure how long. It was a pretty good while I was sitting there, but maybe an hour or so goes by, and I can hear something walking behind me, but I never can see what it is. And then just, I'm looking to the right, looking in that field, because it's getting about good time to hunt. And to the left, this thing steps out. And when it comes out, I'm looking, and I'm thinking, this guy's going to get shot. Because I thought it was a guy in a monkey suit up there, to harass hunters. And the more I get to looking at it, this is too big to be. There's nothing sagging on this. I mean, it's not a suit. It's not a suit, It's got muscle tone. And it stands at the edge of the woods for maybe 5 minutes, and it hardly moves. But then it starts walking through this field. And it's walking kind of a quarter away angle to me. It never does turn to where I can see the facial features or anything. But now I can get a good look at the body. Big, huge, massive body. I noticed the hair from like its elbow down on its arm was longer than it kind of looked like fringe hanging down. It would swing. The right arm would swing, and the left arm it was holding up towards its body. It never did swing, but the right arm would swing. And it's walking through this field, and it gets to this little pine tree, and it stops, and it stands there for maybe five minutes or so. And it's kind of like the field kind of rolled up and rolled over. It's kind of like it's stretching its head up, like it's wanting to look over to see if there's something, over there. But it continues on, and it goes over the bank. So I'm saying the whole encounter that I seen may have lasted 20, 25 minutes, because when it walked through this field, it wasn't in no hurry. It was just normal stride. You could see muscles, in this thing's back, kind of like a pot belly on it. But I'm thinking, you know, after that thing disappears, hey man, I've got to go back that way to get out of here, and I'm not doing it at dark. So I stay next to the wood line because it went over, and I've got the safety off. And of course, while I'm looking at this thing, I've got the scope on. I'm looking at this thing, trying to see, you know, and I'm kind of ashamed to say that as a hunter, you shouldn't, but I'm looking at this thing to see if this is, you know, this is somebody or whatever. But it seemed like the hair on the back side of its neck might have been ruffled a little bit, matted. I'm guessing maybe 80 yards away. I'm watching this thing. Never does look back my way. Never. It's the wind is in my face. This thing is paying attention. It's smelled something, or it's looking out for something that way. Its attention was focused away, and it just disappears. So I'm easing along that wood line to where this thing had come out, and I could see the tracks. I was looking at the pine tree, and I'm looking at the tracks. So I decide, you know, I'm gonna go up to that pine tree, and when I start walking in this thing's tracks, I'm having to take. And this thing, it's not running, it's walking. I'm having to take a step and a half from one footprint to the other. And, you know, it's tall grass, so it's mowing the grass over as it walks. I can follow it, no problem. When I get to the pine tree, that thing was maybe a foot and a half shorter than the pine tree, but the pine tree was probably at least 10 foot, maybe 11.
Wow.
It was a bigger pine than what I thought. I'm thinking that's a small, it wasn't a small tree, it was a big tree. So right then and there, I knew, hey, that ain't no guy dressed up. Well, no way. So I get out of there. I get back to the truck. Actually, I'm waiting at the truck for Dad and my brother show up. They don't show up till after dark, but I'm sitting at the tailgate of that truck watching, gun sitting there at the safety off because, you know, after what I seen, and I never did go back up there after that. I only made two trips, and the second trip was it. I've never been back there. And wow. For me, you know, people say they're not real, but I've seen what I can't tell you exactly what it was that I seen, but I know what I seen. And it wasn't no man, and it wasn't no bear walking. Never did drop down on all fours. This thing walked on two legs, arms swinging. It was pretty intense for a 15, 16-year-old to see, you know. If I'd have seen it now, knowing what I know now, we'd have been dragging that to a truck.
Yeah. There's a guy, Justin, I listen to, Wes. He does the Sasquatch Chronicles. It's a great podcast. But he's always one of those dudes that he definitely wants someone to shoot one.
Well, the way I'm thinking now, it's because I know there's no doubt in my mind what it was. There's no doubt at all. I get a little nervous when I think about the situation I was in. Matter of fact, I'm shaking a little bit. But it's until scientists have a body, they're going to deny this from now on.
Oh, yeah.
Until there's definitive proof. And the only way we're going to get definitive proof is there's going to have to be a body or a skeletal remains found with DNA that they can't match to anything else. That's the only way we're going to get definitive proof.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And see, that's the thing. You know, there's people like you out there everywhere, you know, millions of people that have these accounts, and there's only a percentage of those people that come forward just because of what you said. There's such a stigma there of, oh, well, you know, this guy, he was, you know, he must have been sipping on something that day or hitting the devil's lettuce, or, you know, yeah. He has to be altered because what he's seen ain't real.
Right.
But see, that's the point of this show that we're doing, this podcast we're doing. This is what we want, is to hear people's accounts, you know, to understand and get these experiences of what people have seen.
Yeah.
You know, because I've seen and witnessed a bunch of crazy stuff that I can't explain. Mm-hmm. Now, I've never witnessed a Bigfoot, never encountered one. I would love to, maybe, in a certain situation.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's never going to be in a controlled situation.
No,
that you see one. It's never going to be that
way. Never.
These things they're out there, and they've survived this long without humans trapping or actually shooting or, you know, clear photographic video evidence, you know, that you can find features on that's not blurred out. They're intelligent. This thing was, as I watched it walk away, when it stopped, and it was just kind of tiptoe up and try to stretch and look over that where that field rolled to see if it, because it sensed something was there, but I don't understand why it didn't look back my way. But now that I'm older and I'm thinking about it, the wind was hitting that side of my face, and it's a moment I'll probably never forget. I'd always planned on taking that to the grave with me. And, you know, I just lost my dad not too long ago with dementia. And I kind of wish before he got to where he couldn't understand that I'd have told him that story as to why I never did go back there with him. There was a place that, and I still haven't been back there. I drive by it, but I have no desire to scale that mountain again, I don't think.
And that's ever towards the cabin?
Sorry, mm-hmm.
You're okay.
Where at? Yes,
the place was called Pine Mount, and it's over out from Troutdale, Virginia. And it's in, I think it may be Grayson County in there. For sure it's Grayson County, but we're talking 42, 43 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm not sure what's up on that mountain now, but I know what was up there then.
It's not the Hound Shell, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this is, I can take you out there and show you where the horse trail is and where they kept the horses and show you the road that we went up. The road was rough. It was four-wheel drive. You had to have four-wheel drive and get pretty much dry to get up there. It was rough. But, you know, Dad found it. You know how he hunted. He hunted on the road, and he found all these places. He found it and took us up there. And that's what I encountered up there. And, you know, I've never told any of my family members ever, other than your brother and your mom and you and your sister. That's the only ones I've ever told.
Don't worry. I don't think they watch or listen to this anyway.
Don't really care. I don't really care. I mean, I'm not lying. It's something that actually did happen. I'm not lying about it. And, you know, if they do watch it and want to make fun of me, I guess they'll just have to make fun of me. It is the truth what I did see.
Didn't Papa, it seems like years ago, he talked about did he see a UFO or he thought?
He told me one time that he was up at the shelter in Young's Branch, and he drove up there, and he said it was an oblong, oval shape. He said it wasn't up in the sky. He said it was down between the mountains, because he was looking like straight at it. you know. And he said it was silver, but, you know, everybody told me it's probably a weather balloon, and Dad said it didn't fly like a weather balloon because he said it was there 1 minute, and then the next minute it takes off, it's gone. So I don't see a weather balloon traveling like that.
Yeah,
no, me neither.
But he said it was pretty much, and I can take you to that spot and point it out to you because he pointed out to me where it was at and what he was looking at. And he said when it left there, it left going up the holler on an angle, and it just zipped gone. So.
Well, that's something that I believe, and me and Ryan have talked a lot about, is, you know, back where we live, and in a lot of other areas throughout the country and throughout the world, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people in the world, and we've expanded to a great portion of the land that's available.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of wilderness out there. You know, yeah. these hunting spots that you're talking about that you and your dad, and my condolences to you and your family too, about, I mean, that's recent.
Yeah, thank you.
But these spots that you go to and you pick, you don't go because there's hundreds of people there all the time. You go because it's secluded.
Yeah.
You go to try to hunt game that's not used to people being around.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that, you know, that in my viewpoint anyway, if you have a creature, or even talking about the UFOs or whatever, if you have these different things that are out there and they're trying to stay hidden, what better ways than to stay hidden than to stay out here in the wilderness?
Yeah.
To where nobody's going to see you if you don't want.
Right. I watched a documentary not too long ago, and this happened in next to Berea, Kentucky, and a guy and I think his brother or cousin or something, or go hiking in it's public land, but it's like a national forest or a park, and they get harassed and run out of the woods by these things. So I'm going to look that up, because that's a bucket list must for me, is to go and try to experience this stuff again. That's a bucket list thing.
Well, we're going to be doing some investigations. As soon as warm weather opens up, we're going to be going to some of these places where these sightings have happened. We're going to take this. We're going to take this awesome camera that you got for us.
Right.
Because the night vision on it is pretty awesome. Well,
you guys are good, because I can only run maybe 15, 20 feet. I'm out of that wind, so you guys are good.
Well, that's it. That's it. There ain't a family of them, damn it.
Yes, they do.
We can't.
Dad, I love you, Dad, but, you know.
You've lived a good life.
You know, that's why carry a needle with you when you're swimming in case sharks come. You know.
Yeah. Look at this. You smell a little
neighbor blood. And go on.
Yeah, that's it. So back to your encounter here. What color was this thing?
From what I could see through the rifle scope, it's kind of a brown, dark brown, with a lightish, light, kind of like a reddish tint, maybe. The part where the sun was shining on looked red. The rest looked dark, real dark brown. The hair under the arm looked really red on toward the ends where the sun was shining on. It might have just been the sunlight reflecting, but it looked a red, real reddish tint to it. But it was actually longer hair down the forearm than the upper part of the arm. The upper part of the arm was not as long. It had hair down off the shoulder a little bit, but I don't know if that came from its head or if it's growing out from its shoulder, because the hair on its head was matted in the back, and it looked long, but you know, it looked like long hair, but it was just real matted. The head was, I'm not going to say gorilla-ish in shape, but close. It was massive. The head was just, I don't know how to say the shape, kind of a gorilla-ish shape, but not that slope to its face. The face dropped off, you know, from what I could tell, because if it had the gorilla face from the view I seen, the side of its head, I would have been looking at part of its face, but I never did see that. So, I kind of just wish, I could remember enough or had enough of an opportunity for that thing to have glanced back to the right a little bit, or to where I could see the face, because it wasn't very far away and I was watching it. So, but the head was big. I would say probably the shoulder, from the looks of that pine tree, I'm going to say the shoulders were 3 feet, 3.5 feet.
Wow.
But, it didn't have a muscular bodybuilder type build. It was like a straight down with a bit of a pot belly type thing. When I looked to the right and first seen it, I'm looking, I'm thinking, because it had the pot belly and was walking, I'm thinking, what's this guy doing? And I'm watching it, and it wasn't no guy in no suit, because the legs, there was nothing sagging on this thing. I mean, its legs were attached to its butt, and they went straight up just like everybody else. There was nothing sagging or hanging down to make me think this was a suit after the first few minutes. I mean, it stood there pretty good while, and when it started walking off, that's when I realized this is not some guy in a suit, because he wouldn't have walked up that hill at that kind of, it was walking, but it's, for me, it was a pretty quick pace. This thing was just walking, and it was making up ground walking. So I'm watching the arm swing, and I'm looking, and I'll never forget the matted hair. It's like it might have had burrs or something in its hair and had it all matted on the back of its head. And when I got to the pine tree and looked at the pine tree, that's when, even at 15, 16 years old, I realized, man, this thing was big, big.
Yeah.
Because the pine tree, at least 11 feet. It wasn't no small pine tree. It was actually, after I get to, and thinking about it now, even I can picture the pine tree now looking at it. The body on that thing is pretty good size too. I mean, compared to that pine tree, it was, as far as a body weight or anything like that, an imaginable guess would be, I mean, if it were a person, they were that tall, I'm thinking 400 to 500 at least for the size, maybe more for the size. So,
wow. So you're talking about a massive, massive creature.
This is not no small thing. This is not a human being walking this. I've seen some 7 foot tall guys, and if you put that on a 7 foot tall guy and put that body on that guy, he would still be small in height comparison. I'm thinking 8.5 feet at least compared to the tree.
That's crazy. So, did this thing make any sound as it was? You're 80 yards away, but still.
The only sound I heard was the dry leaves when it was coming up that it's kind of like a little swag, but it was walking up that swag behind me. That's the only one. When it got to that, it never made no noise whatsoever, totally silent. And, you know, it would turn its head and look to the left and back straight. That's the only head movement that it made. And when it stopped, stand still, the head movements were slow. It didn't jerk its head around. It just slowly turned its head and slowly turned it back. And then when it stretched, like it was wanting to look over that hump, it started to make its way on across. So this is a massive, massive creature. It's huge. I don't think a human being would stand a chance in a boxing match with it. But this thing is meant to be staying, you know. And my wife, you know, before I ever told her this story, I watched all these Bigfoot things. Finding Bigfoot, that's God bless them people, but that's the biggest, hilarious thing I've ever watched. Let's go through the woods with lights shining on us, and let's take a bat and smack a tree, and let's talk on walkie-talkies and shine flashlights and holler woohoo down the woods and see if we can get a response. I think if you're going to get evidence of this thing, you're going to have to be stationary, probably at least 25 to 30 feet up in a tree. And all physical evidence of getting in that tree be removed, because I think they can smell better than we give them credit for. I think they have probably a bloodhound sense of smell. They would about have to develop and be existing with us. Nobody, everybody, you know, every day not running into one. I saw Bigfoot yesterday. He's out in the backyard. He's licking the grease.
So. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, these things, which, I mean, if you think about most animals, they have heightened senses than humans. Yeah. You know, even if you're talking about a dog, their sense of hearing and smell and, you know, all that is way more advanced than ours.
Yeah.
And it's because of that, you know, they use different senses because they're supposed to be hunters.
There's got to be some form of communication that they do make. Now I've actually that one show that was on was Expedition Bigfoot, where the lady used the parabolic dish. Used the calls and got a response, and it wasn't anything, you know, they even had it checked, and it wasn't any type of animal that we know of. So,
yeah,
you know, and you may be able to use calls at times if you knew the right call to make, but, you know, who are we to say what the, you know, and we ain't going to go out to, hey, Bigfoot, and he's going to answer. So, tree knocks, they try tree knocks and get responses on that. So maybe certain forms of communication like that, man just has to, you know, if I was a way younger man, I'd be spending more time in the woods than what I'm able to now. But I am going to go and do a camping expedition for a few days. It's going to happen. Because I think if you go, you're not gonna go in there in 2 hours and investigate something. You're gonna have to go for a few days to investigate an area, at least try to elicit a response or something like that. That's just my opinion, you know. Because, you know, I know they're out there. I know that I seen one. Nobody will ever tell me I didn't.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome too. And when you do decide to take these camping expeditions, make sure you keep us updated if we're not there with you.
All right. I would like, you know, you guys get your cameras one time, maybe you get a couple of days off a long weekend or something, maybe go a long weekend, try to get there that night, set you up a camp and start the next morning looking, you know, most of your evidence finding, my opinion would have to be after dark. Cause I think they're a nocturnal hunter, and you know, they know when the game's out, when the game's calm and the calmest that they can be the nighttime, they're going to be out. A deer is going to be out in a field where it can smell and see. And, you know, his best bet to survive is to be at a good ambush point. So they know, just like we know, how to hunt. So I think your best evidence is going to be during reasonable hunting times that the deer are moving. So you can take that for what it's worth. You know, they eat them. So,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, an hour before dark on. So that's my opinion.
Well, and I agree. A lot of these cases that you hear about, you know, it's from hunters. And it's almost like these situations that these hunters go out to hunt deer or, you know, whatever game they're hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like these Bigfoot are doing the same thing. So when they have these encounters, you know, they hear these screams, they have these rocks thrown at them, branches thrown at them. It's almost as if like, look, man, this is my territory. This is where I hunt. You got to go.
Yeah.
You know, not so much that, you know, they're being aggressive toward the people, but it's just like a turf war kind of thing.
Yeah, they're giving them a say, hey, this is mine. You need to back off. I think the same thing. I think a lot of the encounters of these hunters going out is they're getting into their areas and they're letting them know, hey, you need to back off. This is mine.
I mean, if I woke up one day and somebody's in my kitchen hunting food, I'd probably throw rocks at them. Like, the hell?
Yeah.
It's their house, you know, that's where they live. So
yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's the same principle.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, but
that was the encounter that I had 43 years ago. I'm not a young man anymore, but it was it's one I'll never forget. That's And, you know, back then, to be 15 or 16, you had been called a crazy person to tell them you saw Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they were told. Well, you're crazy, you know.
I mean, still around certain people, some people are going to say that just because you've got some people that are so close-minded to everything. If it's not black and white, if they haven't seen it, if it hasn't happened to them, then we can't believe it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the world's a lot more interesting place than what we know for certain.
We got, you know, as the older I've got, I guess gained a little bit of knowledge, but the older I've got, if you can't open up your mind to the possibilities of something, then you're going to walk around in a dark room rest of your life. You're gonna have to learn that may be, you know, this may be a real thing. This, you know, you can't just blow it off and say no, you're crazy, because there's just too much evidence, too many people seeing this thing. I've witnessed this thing. I've never talked to anyone else that's witnessed one, but I do remember another thing I was going to say. When that thing first stepped out, that wind was coming toward me, and it kind of wasn't a skunk smell, but it was a kind of a real musty odor that I smelled after it started walking. And And I thought it was maybe the, because there was some moss and stuff on the ground to my leg been coming off of that, but it could have been coming off this thing because the way its hair was matted and everything, it wasn't a clean creature. It was dirty looking. It was, yeah, and it could have been coming off that, but at 15 or 16, I'm not looking for that kind of detail. I'm trying to figure out what the heck this guy or whatever this is doing up here. You know, I'm thinking this is going to get shot. That's what, yeah. I was thinking. This is going to get shot right here. I'm a witness. And I kept saying to myself, I'm going to watch this guy get killed. That's what I was thinking, because, you know, it was hunting season back then. You know, orange wasn't a requirement.
Right.
And there was a lot of people getting shot back then, you know. So, you know, not so much in our area, but, you know, there was people getting shot. And to be wearing something like that during the deer season, walking through an open field, I'm thinking this is getting picked off just any sec, you know. But I think, well, I know that they're out there, and before, you know, the good Lord takes me away, I want to go and at least confirm or get, you know, might get some kind of confirmation or something out of what I seen. I think it'd be just awesome to get to see it again in my lifetime, just to say I'm not, you know, there. And I wasn't crazy. Right here's what I seen. But I'm not crazy. I know what I seen. And I wasn't drunk back then. I was riding with my dad. So Dad was there. We were not drinking. We were young. And I was fully alert and aware of what was going on. And to be 15 or 16, I'm sitting there worried about a guy getting shot in front of me too, you know?
Yeah.
And not realizing at the first, until I walked over to that pine tree, I'm thinking there's no way, as tall as that is, that this was a guy, because this thing wasn't maybe a foot or foot and a half below this pine. And the pine was 10, 11 feet easy. 6 feet across. That thing's body covered at least half the thickness of that tree standing there.
Wow.
So.
It's massive. That's unreal. And I'm glad you talked about it. I'm glad you talked about the smell, because that was going to be my next question, was if you smelled anything. I was just trying to cover all the senses.
And, you know, I've smelled that odor a time or two hunting. And when I smell that, man, I get alert. Kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of my head to slip when I smell that smell. I wouldn't know how to explain what it smelled like. It was like a real musty, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if you've ever slaughtered hogs or anything, but when you get to the slaughter and you get them hung up and you go to skin that musty smell off that pig, is something. Maybe I could compare it to a wet dog, you know, the musty smell of a wet dog, how they are.
Yeah.
It's kind of in that range, but it's like about 10 times the strength. And I've smelled it a time or two in the woods, and the hair on my neck has stood up. You know, I get real alert because I can remember that smell from then. That I'll never forget that smell. So I associate it with that. That's what I associate it with, whether it was the moss on the ground or whatever. So,
well, I can tell you this for a fact. I've never shot a turkey in my life, because I got off a school bus one day, go running up the hill up to the house, go in, and that guy right there was cleaning. Well, he was finishing off a turkey in the kitchen sink, and I walked through the front door, and that smell punched me right in the nose. It's like, oh my God, what is that?
Man, you got to pick them. You got to scald them and pick them.
God, dumb. That's a new smell. That's,
you leave that skin on there for flavor, man.
God, I've never. And that's one of those things they always say, like the sense of smell can bring back such a memory. There is nothing in this world I would cap a skunk's ass over my nose before I would smell a dead turkey again. That, God. And it was the whole house. My room, yeah. The door to my room was open, so there's no escape. That's it. Gosh, shit.
I skin them now. I don't pluck them anymore. I skin them now. So,
whew.
Yeah, skin them fry now.
So what you're trying to tell me here is your turkey smell and incident is as traumatic to you as your dad's Bigfoot encounter is to him.
It would be just as traumatic if that Bigfoot raped him. That's how traumatic that smell was. That was. But I jest, folks. We don't know if Bigfoot are a rapist.
There are accounts that, you know, Bigfoot would kidnap and take. And
now, every account I hear, I just take them people for their word. I believe, you know, it's like, I want to see Bigfoot. That's, I'm like, Dad, I want to go have one of those experiences, because this has been a favorite subject of mine for a long time. And I've rooted for everybody that's going out and looking for him. However, there are some people, like this one guy talking about he had a Bigfoot experience and then all of a sudden gained the ability to track these creatures. And he's been dealing with a family unit for like 8 years now. Oh, and he's got the scat and the fur. And then why didn't you turn that in? You lying son of a bitch. You ain't followed anybody. First of all, now I don't even believe your first account. Yeah. It was true or not, because who following a family in?
Yeah.
These are the hide and go seek champions of the universe, but you've tracked them down and now gained the trust of a family in your net. Please.
True.
I got a pack of Wolverines out back I've been best friends with for 4 years. That's just don't look directly in their eyes. You're fine.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, there are certain people out there that give everybody else a bad name. You know, you've got people that want to fabricate all this stuff and make all this stuff up, when you have actual people like Jeff that see these things, it affects these people. You know, just like you said, you were 15, 16 years old. This is 40 some years ago, and you've never been back to this place to hunt.
No.
I mean, that's an impact. That is an impactful, traumatic situation.
Don't really have the desire to go back to that place. I really don't.
And that's understandable. And in a lot of these accounts, that's what you hear. You hear like lifelong hunters that just give it up, that won't even go into the woods anywhere again and hunt because of their experience, because it terrified them so much that they just give it up.
Yeah. I didn't give it up, but you know, I never went back to that area again. I went back to the areas that I knew, you know, from past hunting experiences. I didn't, but I've never had the desire to go back there. But in hindsight, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to go, you know, but it was 43 years ago, you know, it's hard to tell if they're there now or not. I don't know how much humanity has encroached on that area now. So I know back then it was pretty much, you know, it's pretty much a way back out there. And to leave the road and to walk for another hour and a half back through this, and it's a pretty neat area. The biggest thing that attracted Dad to it was the sign there talking about the pine trees and the pine needles burning for like 40 years. That's what drew him to it. But, I don't have no desire to see that place again.
And see, that's another weird, just the description of the area. You talking about how like desolate it was, the pine needles, you know, being burnt and all this different stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but I wonder if just the area was something that drew this creature to it, just like it drew your dad to it.
Well, I'm thinking what drew, you know, now that I've been thinking about it the last couple of years or so, I think what drew them to that area was, you know, it was growing back. It's lush and green. I think the deer population probably in that area, because it was growing back. And we've seen a lot of deer on that mountain. So I'm thinking the deer population plus it was that mountain there is kind of lower in elevation. And it's got, just seems like in that area, the acorns and the hickory nuts and the things like that do a lot better year after year, as opposed to having good years and bad years. It seems like they have a long, you know, every year you have an area there that has good mass production. So I think that's what drew the deer into that area, that and the new green regrowth. And I think the deer plus the mass production is what drew that thing into that area.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. I'm thinking on it now.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, you know, these things, obviously they're out there. They have to eat. They have to live off of something. So mm-hmm. I'm sure they like the taste of deer just as much as we do.
Yeah. To survive like they do, they have to have the protein and everything, you know, and they compare them to a primate, but they would probably be a large primate. I don't know how big gorillas get, but I would say gorilla would have a tough time with what I see. I've seen gorillas in the zoos, and they ain't nothing compared to what I looked at.
Wow, that's
saying something because gorillas are massive.
Yeah,
that's
but they're not tall. They're not as tall. They probably maybe if they stood up, some of them are 6 foot, but this thing's like 8 foot, 9 foot. And you add 3 more feet to a gorilla's stature. Now you tell me what kind of power that thing's gonna have compared to a regular gorilla. You gotta add 3 more feet in height and body mass. And so I'm thinking, you know, and I've heard accounts and seen accounts of them pushing trees over. I watched a documentary where this guy, and I can't think of where it's at. I'll try to find it and send you the information of this guy. He goes looking at these trees that have been uprooted. And I'm not talking little trees. I'm talking 12, 14-inch trees that have been uprooted. And the root balls are up sticking up. The top of the tree has been stuck in the ground.
I remember that. I watched that.
this guy goes to, he goes just to investigate the area that these trees are turned upside down with the root balls. And these things are, when he stands next to them, these trees are huge. So what kind of power did it take to be out there and to bury the top of that, stick it down in the ground enough to where it will stand? So what kind of power is that?
Yeah, that's, you're talking stronger than any creature we know of.
Well, I mean, if you can pull a tree up by the root ball and stick the top up down the ground, you're doing something.
If you can pull a pine sapling up by the root ball, you're probably going to mess me up anyway.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to use a few of those on these high walls to hang on to. Please hold strong, little root.
Please, little root. Please stay strong.
Stay strong.
Yeah, I've had a few of those incidents on these mountains around here that you wish the tree you had a hold of was just a tad bigger, but they held up. So.
Well, Dad, I really appreciate you coming and giving us your testimony and your experience.
Well, you guys are welcome.
I got one more question.
Okay.
And I'm going back to our man Wes on this. And this is a Wes question.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's what he ends all of his interviews with.
And there's no wrong.
No wrong answer, because nobody knows. In your opinion, what is Bigfoot? If you had to say that this thing is something definite, what is it?
Well, if I got to see the face, I would have a more definitive answer, but this is some type of primate. It's definitely some form of primate that's not been, you know, discovered as far as science goes yet, or identifiable to science. So that's my look on it. It's a primate. I don't know if it's between humans and apes, or if it's developed, if it's an ape that's developed beyond, you know, the norm. Because, you know, gorilla is a pretty massive creature, but this thing I've seen is bigger than the gorillas I've seen in the zoo. You know, you add 3 feet stature, you're asked quite a bit of the evolution process, in my opinion. So yeah. It is a primate that has yet to be identified or recognized by science.
Yeah,
that's a good answer.
Yeah,
I mean, it's as good as anything else is out there.
Yeah,
it's as good as interdimensional time travelers.
Yeah. I have to. Oh Lord, when they start that, you know, we seen a UFO. I didn't see any UFO. I seen a creature that was walking, seemed alert, looking out ahead for danger. What I seen didn't drop off no spaceship. I heard it walk all the way, you know, up through there to me and past me, and watched it walk away. And I didn't see no silver ball dropping down. And hey, I will pick you up in 2 hours.
Well, Dad, he can't drive right up to the hunting patch. He's got to park down there like you guys did and walk in.
You know, if those UFOs are so silent and have the technology that they do, why even get on the ground? Shoot that thing and beam it up.
Yeah,
beam me up, Scotty. We're gonna have here. We're having venison tonight, boys.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
I've said the same thing on this show, actually. Like, if I was that far advanced of a species, there ain't a damn chance I'm going to be freezing my ass off in the woods, living like a barbarian. No, that's crazy.
If you're intelligent enough to develop a spaceship,
Yeah.
Why would you be in the woods living, laying in leaves and living like an animal? Why, when you got technology that prevents you from doing that? There's no creature ever that's going to say, hey, I want to freeze tonight, so screw this spaceship, drop me off, let's go to Antarctica, and let's find the coldest point. Just throw me out for a few days. I'm tired of living in luxury. Let's just do it. Well, they're not out there.
And you know, this just came to me, but we don't have hair like a Sasquatch all over our body. You know, I don't enjoy cold climates. However,
years and everywhere.
I do like driving down to Florida and laying on the white sand beaches in the sun with some Coronas and sunblock. Maybe Sasquatch is taking a vacation.
Well, if Sasquatch was taking a vacation, he would be like you. Hey, I'm going down there. It's warm.
He's covered in hair. He's hot all the time.
Well, I'm just saying, to develop that type of technology, to have that type of intelligence, to be in a spaceship, let's put it that way, to be in a spaceship, for you to drop me off in the blue cold so that I can snatch up a deer for you to snack on tomorrow, ain't happening.
No,
that's not even logical. That's not even near logical thinking on my part.
Plus, intergalactic.
I don't understand those stories. I mean, if you have that technology, why are you even putting a foot on the ground other than to pick it up?
Yeah. I just fly over a farm.
I can see that. I can see that.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, they report their dogs missing, chickens missing. They actually have a sighting of this thing. They don't talk about no spaceship dropping down on the ground. Their chickens are gone. They're talking about to see this primate-like animal in the dark that's robbed their chicken coop, running through their yard with their chickens. So,
yeah.
These guys are going, he's from outer space. I'm thinking, you guys must be in California and smoking that good stuff.
No, it's from Mesa.
And
on Pleasant Drive.
Yeah, just thinking.
I've never seen it. I'll just throw out theories. That's all I do. I just open conversation.
I'm just, you know, there's got to be some form of chemical imbalance in a person's brain.
Their gummies must be better than mine.
Try to link these two things together as if they're going to actually make a logical thinking person believe it. I just don't, I can't comprehend. But, you know, they're going to have some people thinking, well, yeah, he could be from outer space. No, he's not going to drop in on a spaceship and go deer hunt with his bare hands.
Yeah.
You know, where's his laser gun or his spear or whatever he's going to hunt with? Why ain't you got that in his hands when you see him?
Not that kind of technology.
I mean, come on.
We're the most advanced cavemen ever.
I could debunk that one for you real quick.
That debunking runs in the family.
That's not even a form of logical thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Think
that Bigfoot dropped in off a spaceship. Yeah. You may have seen a light from a hunter out in the woods and then seen Bigfoot, but I just don't think the light dropped Bigfoot off. You know, this little tiny speck of light dropped a 9-foot-tall creature off and flew off. And then, oh, there's the big creature, but he disappears. I don't think that he disappears. I think he just outrun your fat idea.
No.
and you can't keep up. Because there's some reports of them actually running deer down.
So, oh, yeah. Well,
if any guy tells me that he could run a deer down, I'm gonna put some serious money on the table and say, go for it. Because if you catch it, you deserve it. But I just don't think, what's his name? Bolt?
Usain Bolt.
Yeah, he doesn't have a chance either. Not no running a deer down and snatching it off the ground. It's not going to happen.
No, you're right. You're so exactly right.
Let's get serious minded instead of weed minded or whatever.
Big fierce.
Whatever spec you got in that bowl you're smoking. You know, let's be serious about it, because what I've seen is not, this is an actual physical creature. I get a little aggravated at some of these shows, and especially when they start that conspiracy stuff. I get so mad because I've seen it. I know what I say. And for you to try to make me believe that a spaceship dropped that off, I'm going to try to get your college degree.
How the hell, dude, did you get this job?
I'm going to get my next box of Cracker Jacks, and I'll have one just like you.
That's it.
Because you got to be on something serious to even try to. It's not even logical thinking.
If you get the decoder ring, I'll call dibs.
I'll never deny. I'll never say that it ain't real. I'm not going to say anything's not real, because the experience that I had, you can't say that it's not real, because I seen it. I know it. So when somebody says, well, I seen a UFO, I can probably maybe help you debunk what you've seen. But when the Air Force and the Navy and everybody starts turning in videos of these jets flying, and there they are, how can you deny the proof that they're having to turn loose? Now you can't deny the proof, because the jet pilots are sitting there saying, it was flying right there, man. Look at it. Yeah. Where'd it go? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to never deny that that's not real.
About the time the government released all those UFO things, they also passed a bill where if you make money off of Cash App, PayPal, Zelle on your banking app, if you make more than $600, that's considered earned income. And you have to file a 1099-K now. It's worth the Google. It's real. So it's when those things were like, I think they're running out of secrets to give up to cover their shit.
Yeah.
To hell with it. Yeah. Show them the UFOs.
Yeah, show them they're out there. This is another opinion of mine. Our United States military, as well trained as they are, I would give my left arm to say that they've experienced these things. They were just told to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go out there and make us look like idiots. But I guarantee that in this training and all these things that they have, get dropped off and go from point A to point B, that they run into this stuff. I guarantee it happens, but the evidence is just never released. Because then they would have to admit that it's a real creature. And then, oh my gosh, those things live in the forest. We can't cut the trees down. Uh-oh. What happened to our logging industry? What happened
it's
to our
bad
paper?
News for us.
What happened to our paper products? What happened to our 2x4s. Why can't we build nothing out of wood anymore? So the money plays a huge role in what's turned loose in this country.
Yeah. And a lot of people say that the reason that they don't come out and disclose that Bigfoot is real or is just because of that. Is because it would shut down these wood industries.
These areas are dependent upon the logging industry because
absolutely,
you know, that's what they're there for. So these areas that depend on this logging industry, the logging industry is like, hey, come out back, look in this book. Oh, there's a few $100 bills. Please don't say anything. Read that book.
Yeah.
That's what you see.
Yeah.
So you gotta admit, money talks. I mean, you cripple the logging industry in this country. What are you gonna build with, or paper products, or you know, where are you gonna mine? Where are you gonna get your ore for anything? Because you know you're not gonna be able to. You're gonna destroy habitat that belongs to this known primate. And that's its habitat. So we have to quit doing it all. It'll never, science, I don't think science will ever admit that that thing is real unless there's a body brought in and without getting arrested and sent off to Antarctica to live the rest of your life, you know, to get the proof to the American people before you get the proof, you're going to be gone. You're going to be a Jimmy Hoffa story. Hey, where'd Dad go? Yeah. I ain't seen him, you know. Where'd he go? And
then, listen, you know, never, to me, never folks. Show up
again. I think that's the seriousness of it, though. I think there's evidence out there that's been obtained, and it's been put on a burner that nobody wants.
Yeah. I agree. That's why if I ever shoot one, first of all, I'm clipping its fingernails. I'm cutting hair. I'll ram a finger up there to get a stool sample. All that's going to go in separate baggies. Then an unknown person will take that to a location that I don't even know about. And then when they come to kill me, I'll be like, go ahead, but as soon as you do, coming out, you bastard. I want an island, and I don't want any damn Bigfoots on it.
I don't want it to be cold either. No.
I will never work again. Understand me.
I'm just thinking, you know, unless somebody's bold enough to throw that, of course, it'll get jerked down, but, you know. If somebody got that evidence and tried to present it real quickly, I think there'd be a panic to shut that down.
Yeah.
It'd be like, what happened to Facebook? Oh, it's retooling today. We're not doing anything today. It's froze up. You can't sign on. I think all your media would be.
Yeah.
It would. You're not going to get it. You're not going to be able to get the story out. Just my opinion. You're not going to be able to get it out. Anyway, unless you can just surprise them 1 o'clock in the morning, throw a big YouTube video that don't get taken down real quick. Somebody by chance gets to see it. So
those YouTube AIs, they're pretty quick to the game.
I'm pretty sure if they've been told what to allow and what not to allow too. They're in the pocket too. So. I just don't think you'd be able to ever present the evidence unless you did it so publicly that they couldn't do anything to you at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's after that moment that you'd really, really, really have to worry about.
But it'd already be over by then. So.
Well, it'd be over, but you're not going to get to enjoy anything from it, I would say. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Somebody want that body.
And the worst part about it is probably your family would suffer right behind you. So that's the thing that goes on in this world that makes you want to just guys. Why can't we have some morality anymore?
Yeah.
Nice. Tell the truth. If it's the truth, why not tell?
I agree.
To hide it and call it a lie when it's not a lie. If it's the truth, tell it.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
But, you know, you'll never get people to quit taking money. Oh, all this free money to shut up? I'll shut up.
Well, I told Justin from the start, I will absolutely sell out to make money. So if you're not on board, like, I'm not your partner.
No, my. You know, I would love myself to be able to have the evidence, physical evidence, undeniable proof to get out. Just to say, just to have that validation of what I've seen, I just wish that would come out some way, some undeniable, validating proof of what I've seen. I'd love to see that before I leave this world, but man, yeah, I don't think you ever count on that. It's a logging industry down in this country, and that's it.
Nah, we'll be done.
Well, you know, and hopefully one day you do get your closure, whether it's, you know, the proof comes out in some way, shape, or form, or you get the opportunity to see another one of these things again. You know, hopefully you do get that opportunity. Well, yeah, me too. But Jeff, we appreciate your story, man. We really do. We appreciate you in way more ways than just your story. But, you know, we really appreciate your story. We appreciate you sharing. And we're excited and glad that this is a platform to have people to come on and be able to share, you know, whatever their experience.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys do this. I mean, this is kind of like a little bit of a weight gets lifted when you get to finally tell somebody. When I told my wife the first time, I was, I could breathe better, you know.
Yeah.
It's good. And it does help. It does help to kind of deal with what you did see, what you know you've seen, and what, you know, I'm at the age now, what people really think. It's just, that's this think of me anyways. It doesn't bother me anymore. It used to bother me a lot, but anymore, your opinion's your opinion. You can have it all you want. I know what I've seen, so you know, I'm not going to disrespect you over it, but I don't expect to be disrespected. It's the same token.
Yeah.
So
it's understandable.
But I'm glad you guys do what you do. I hope you guys get out there and get you some evidence, get you some rocks thrown at you.
As long as they aim for my head, Albert.
I hope you have a good poltergeist experience. I'd like to sit levitate Ryan on a bed somewhere.
Man, that would be awesome.
Just film it, Justin. Don't say a word. Just film that thing.
I got you.
When he wakes up, say, hey, guess what happened to you last night, man?
I got you.
Like, all right. Yeah. Who was under that?
Never. Don't give the debunker a heads up.
Nah. He'll never know. Well, Jeff, again, man, we appreciate you big time. I'm glad you came on. I think people will really enjoy this episode. I believe that they'll really enjoy your story. And again, just thanks a lot for sharing, man. You're welcome.
All right.
And for every listener, viewer out there, you guys, same as always, you can find us on any podcast platform out there. Check out our YouTube, like and subscribe at Appalachian Intelligence. If you do like what you see, you enjoy the content that you're seeing and hearing, share us. We don't care how you share us, just share us. Spread the word, tell your friends, tell your family, share it on social media, give us a like and a review.
And even if you don't like it, share it. I've shared plenty of crap out there for you people I didn't give a shit about, but I did it because, you know, we're Facebook friends. So step it up, people.
Yeah. Just for me, I would like, you know, if they did have an experience, you know, if they don't want to share it over a platform, at least drop a letter or email.
Yeah.
Something. It does help in a way. And I wish I'd have done it years and years and years ago. It does help in a way to deal with the problems that's created from the sighting that you had and everything else. It is a little bit of relief to finally get out and say, hey, this is what I've seen. So if you do have an experience, and it doesn't matter, I guess, to you guys what the experience is, you know, if you got a spaceship dropping Bigfoot off in your front yard, share it.
Let us know.
Yeah, if you got a video of it, it'd be better, you know.
Yeah.
I'll gladly talk to you about that.
Yeah, if you've had an experience at this and seen something like what I've seen, you know, hey, why not share it? You know, everybody has an opinion, and it's not going to degrade your self-worth any to just share your story.
Yeah.
It's just going to help you in the long run. I think it'd be a good thing if you come out and get up with these guys and let them know, you know, hey, I've experienced this, or whatever they talk about on this Appalachian Intelligence. If you had an experience, that get out there and get in touch with them, share your story. You know,
that's it, guys. You heard it straight from Jeff. If you've had an experience, if you've got a story, we want to know about it. So let us know. And if you want to be anonymous, we'll keep your name anonymous. Just let us know. We'll deliver the story, keep your name out of it. But thanks for tuning in again, guys. And until next time, we'll see you guys later.
See you later, guys.